Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Winning doesn't just happen.
It takes a plan.
A strategy. All based on expert analysis and trusted information.
That's what you get.
Right here.
The Winning Edge.
We're not just doing this because we're nice guys.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. Radio Network.
Welcome into The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Doing good. Monday, new week, new money, as we like to say, Kevin. And boy, I mean, where did the time go here? Week 11 is starting up this week in the NFL. Exciting, action-packed weekend, college football, NFL. I'm ready to go here, Kevin. 7-9, you know, this is the place to be.
It absolutely is, and there is a lot to unpack here on a Monday. Let's kick it off, our 7-7 top headlines coming out of the weekend. The terrible Kansas City Chiefs, the broken Kansas City Chiefs, are now in first place in the AFC West. Patrick Mahomes, 406 yards, 5 touchdown passes, as they absolutely roll Vegas 41-14.
They were sensational. This is the Kansas City Chiefs, Kevin, that we thought we were getting the entire season that finally showed up. The reason why I took so many deep breaths last week on my pick six wager here on the early line and said -6.5 at about a +160 price. Oh boy, Kevin, here I go. Chiefs on the road. They cover more than the touchdown. It's never going to happen. They were sensational last night. The offense looked like it never left 2019 and 2020, Kevin.
The alt numbers did very well on the pick six this weekend. Bills Jets getting over that alt total as well. Pick six, good stuff as per usual. I'm excited to really break Chiefs Raiders down. There's a lot to take out of that game. And, of course, last year the Chiefs lost in the Super Bowl to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Whoo! Tampa Bay Bucs. I don't know about that team getting back to the Super Bowl, Donnie. The Washington football team defense steps up. Brady throws two picks. They didn't even score 20 points against this team. They lose outright as nearly double-digit favorites by double digits.
Kevin, very excited with the falsetto voice right there. I respect that dearly here on a Monday morning. Bringing it. But again, getting back to this, remember last year in the playoffs, we said which team probably fought the hardest against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? It was the Washington football team. But in no way, shape, or form, Washington should have won that game, Kevin. But how many times did we break it down last week? Now, wait a second here. Tampa Bay on the road, favored by 10. Where have they shown to go on the road and do any damage here, let alone win the game? They lost yesterday. You know what, Kevin? They deserve to lose yesterday. The better football team was the Washington football team.
We are still waiting for the Bucs to cover a number on the road this season, to Donnie's point there. How about Russell Wilson's return? Maybe should have held that off another week. 20 of 40, 161 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks, 0 points. The Packers shut out Russell Wilson, Donnie.
Yeah, game set match on the season here for the Seattle Seahawks, and game set match on my half of the teaser in the pick six. All I probably needed was a field goal for the majority of the game, and they couldn't provide that. I watched just about 3 full quarters of that game on one of my TVs, a horrendous game. Unless you're a Green Bay Packers fan, unless you're an underbacker in that game, it was very easy. That is a big-time win for the Green Bay Packers. Now, trying to level off the competition and win the NFC overall, but particularly get the highest seed possible. But as I said to start this, 3-6 now for the Seattle Seahawks. It's a wrap on 2021.
Russell Wilson looked really bad, to Donnie's point there. A concerning sign for Seattle if they're going to try to salvage this season at all. On the Packers' side of things, this team has covered 9 straight since the opening week disaster against the New Orleans Saints. They moved to a perfect 4-0 at Lambeau Field. Radio audience enters the fold. Appreciate all those listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you going through the top headlines on a Monday morning. And Donnie, how about Cam Newton coming back here. The update comes to the phone. Panthers 7-0. Cam Newton rushing touchdown. He also threw a touchdown in this game. And the Panthers upset the Arizona Cardinals 34-10.
A big time win by the Carolina Panthers against the Cardinals, Kevin. They were sensational defense all the way through, and I guess you're trying to ride high. You can only do so much here when Colt McCoy is your quarterback for an extended period of time, meaning more than one start, not having DeAndre Hopkins on the outside. They got blown away, but I think the big news is Cam Newton back. But again, hey, let's temper the expectations here, because from all the highlights I saw, Kevin, you would have thought that, hey, 26 of 32, 360 in the air, four touchdowns. He basically had a combined, 10 yards in the game. It was a nice start for Cam Newton. I expect him to be the starter next weekend, though, that's for sure.
75% completion percentage, Donnie, for Cam Newton.
That's true.
I mean, the guy was playing some marvelous football. On Arizona's side, though, it was Colt McCoy. Kyler Murray's going to need to come back sooner than later. I think that was made abundantly clear. The Detroit Lions, the Pittsburgh Steelers did battle. Big Ben left this or was not a part of this game due to testing positive for COVID-19. Mason Rudolph left a lot to be desired against a bad Lions defense. Although the Steelers didn't lose, they just didn't win. The Lions, 0-8-1. Now, Donnie, after this game ended in a tie.
Yeah, Jared Goff feels like he threw 50 times for only about 80 yards in this game, which is typical Jared Goff. That was the game you had to win if you're the Detroit Lions in a messy atmosphere. You know, a couple banged up injuries for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And also, I did take this game as my under, figuring that the weather conditions might come into it by the end of the game. Even overtime, Kevin, couldn't cost me the under in that one. 16-16? Wow.
Tremendous call by you. How about the New England Patriots, the Browns, 7-0 at the end of their first possession. 45 unanswered by the Pats. They move to 6-4, send the Browns back to .500. Also, we'll talk college football during our show today. Oklahoma, a disaster against Baylor, losing their first game of the season. A lot to get to. We start with Sunday Night Football after this break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's open it up right here on the early line as we recap a lot of the action that came out of Week 10 in the NFL with Sunday Night Football. The Vegas Raiders hosted the Kansas City Chiefs, closing at around a field goal underdog here. And the Kansas City Chiefs finally woke up, it seems. Perhaps stopped turning the football over every single time they had it, though there were a couple of Mahomes throws that very well could have been intercepted. And what do you know? The Chiefs, they score a touchdown every single quarter of this game. Mahomes throws 5 touchdown passes, 406 yards. Donnie, they put 41 on Vegas. And now, after all of that awful football, it feels like they played open up this season, they sit in first place in the AFC West.
Yeah, like it didn't matter, right? We always thought that the Kansas City Chiefs were the most talented team in this division. We've been, you know, beating them over the head each and every week because it's seemingly they can't get out of their own way. But victories are victories, and now it's seemingly in their own control here to win the AFC West. 41-14 final out there in Vegas. You look at some key components of the game where maybe the game shifts. Now, just because a play or two happens doesn't necessarily change the outcome of a 41-14 game. But I do remember there in the third quarter, 24-14 lead here for the Kansas City Chiefs. Big play for DeSean Jackson, where he seemingly gets turned around, tried the reverse field, ends up getting a strip fumble on that play. And that basically ended the day here. But take nothing away from the Kansas City Chiefs going on the road here. And look, this was one of those lines we've talked about each and every time. They're going to get us here, right, Kevin? They're hanging that 2.5 out here saying, please take Kansas City because the Raiders are probably going to win this game at home. Not so fast here. This was like a Chiefs team more to the point here, playing good defense, and the offense that we've been waiting for finally showed up. It almost seems like, Kevin, there's unfair you know, thoughts when you take a look at Patrick Mahomes. We always thought over the past 2 to 3 years, he should throw for 350 a game. He should throw for 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. And when you see him struggle a little bit, like he's human, boy, I don't know what happened here. Maybe they shouldn't sign him to all that money. And you can wipe all those bad feelings aside, Kevin, with one game. And that was the game last night, a big time victory for the Chiefs. That's got to feel good in the locker room, finally getting things under wraps.
And I think the one thing that we've talked about a lot here when it comes to this Kansas City team, though, Donnie, is the offense still moves the football, consistently top 5 in yards per game in the NFL. It's the turnovers, and the offense didn't turn the football over. They lost the fumble on a kick return. But Patrick Mahomes, no interceptions. Tyreek Hill tried to fumble the football once or twice, but ultimately, you know, knocked out of bounds. This is a Chiefs team that still, even at their worst, you could tell we're going to move the ball. They just finally started to convert here. And I think for the rest of the AFC overall, it's fair to ask about the Chiefs' status. No longer being favorites, perhaps going to start to shift back. I mean, they're right now the second choice on the board behind the Buffalo Bills. You know, the Titans kind of sit in first spot right here. A lot of people aren't necessarily believing in that group. The Titans are the only team in the AFC with more wins than the Kansas City Chiefs. Donnie, I look as well at this performance from Patrick Mahomes, and I was talking about this a little bit last night on the Twitter sphere. Some folks agreeing, some folks thinking I'm out of my mind. Patrick Mahomes is squarely back in the MVP race here after this performance. 406 yards, 5 touchdowns. He leads the NFL in passing yards and passing touchdowns here. And we know it, the league, Donnie, can always be a what have you done for me lately kind of a deal here. If KC gets hot and they win, you know, the rest of their games, maybe all but say one, he's going to be in the MVP race. He just is.
Yeah, and he should be here. And also, sometimes those lofty expectations that you see when we equate it to the NBA, like Giannis. Oh, look, Giannis got 30 and 15 last night. Yeah, he's supposed to do that. We sort of fell into that mold here with Patrick Mahomes the same way. Oh, he threw for 350. Yeah, he's supposed to do that. He threw for 400 last night. Yeah, that's easy to do in Andy Reid's offense. We understand that. But he does have a legitimate chance if they continue to win and at a clip. And you're right. A lot of it is what have you done for me lately? Take a look at last night. When you're looking to win football games, particularly going on the road or beating a good division rival, let's keep in mind also the Vegas Raiders over the past couple of years, you wouldn't really think of those teams as defensive stalwarts. But this 2021 Raiders team is a really good defense. Look at what the Chiefs did, Kevin, on third down, 9 of 15 on conversions. And how about fourth down, 3 of 3? Sensational stuff all the way around from the Chiefs. And sometimes, Kevin, you just need that springboard and say, hey, look, we finally did what we're supposed to. Let's see where we can carry this in the second half of the season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire probably back next week, so even more weapons for that offense as well.
We're going to have to figure out, though, Donnie, what to do with this Vegas team. Though that is the case for, it feels like, a lot of the back end of the AFC here, right? I mean, you've got the Chargers at 5-4, the Raiders at 5-4, the Bengals at 5-4, Colts, Browns, Broncos all sat on 5 wins as well. For this Vegas performance, coming off of the nightmarish game they had at MetLife against the New York Giants, I mean, this is a group that's kind of rotated between, huh, they look pretty good, and, oh, they're absolutely frauds.
You're right. And also, let's take a look. Look at the schedule and how it breaks down. You should have beaten the Giants. You had the Chiefs at home. You're supposed to handle your games. And also, let's keep in mind, it wasn't a 7.5-point line. It was a 2.5-point line. So basically a coin flip here that the Vegas Raiders could have won. Next week, they're going to play the Bengals at home. That's not an easy one. The Bengals will be rested coming off a bye. After that, you know, you go play the Cowboys on the road. And then you have the Washington football team at home, which just stung the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then you go at Chiefs, at Browns, Broncos, at Colts, and Chargers to end the season. My goodness, man, it doesn't get any easier here for Vegas if they're looking to make the playoffs.
There's going to be a lot of value in the back end of this AFC playoff miss for both make and miss wagers here. One team that will not be in the playoffs, the New York Jets, and what is a historically bad defense at this point here. They give up another 40 bomb here as Buffalo puts 45 up against the New York Jets. 45-17 was your final score. Alt over getting the job done from the pick six. They're continuing to 51.5 plus 150. Really, really nice stuff here. Though the over was kind of a sweat early doors here, it felt like the Bills were going to leave opportunities on the table, but they started to get right here, Donnie. They put up 28 in the second half. And it wasn't a banner day for Josh Allen, but it was a banner day for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, 366 in the air, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. When you take a look, there wasn't really a ground game, which really the, you know, Buffalo Bills don't have. But finally, Kevin, finally, I said, you know what? This is the week Stephon Diggs is going to cash me in any time touchdown score ticket at +115. And boy, he did that in a big way. 8 catches for 162 and a touchdown. And also keep in mind, he did catch a touchdown pass that was called back. I'm like, that was the chance here. And they came back to him the very next play, made a sensational catch to actually score that touchdown. But when you take a look at the New York Jets here, right? There's one guy yesterday in that Jets organization. Everybody was dismal. We got blown out. This is terrible. We didn't even give any effort. We're 2-7 now. Joe Douglas went back to his office and lit probably a fine cigar and had a little cognac and said, man, my job is safe now. Because what would happen if Mike White went out there and torched the Buffalo Bills, a top five defense in the NFL? Everything. Nobody would be – everybody celebrate there but him saying, boy, I think I blew him the second overall pick. How can I get out of the way? We'll see Zach Wilson coming back much, much sooner, Kevin, than later now.
The New York Jets saved Zach Wilson's career by not starting him against the Buffalo Bills. That's because his performance, Donnie, probably wouldn't have looked much different, except Zach Wilson couldn't afford that performance because everybody would have said, what would have happened if it was Mike White against Buffalo? We found out 24 of 44, 251 yards, 0 touchdown passes, and 4 interceptions. You could not, Donnie, send Zach Wilson to the Wolves. The Jets now can proudly, to a round of applause, send Zach Wilson out against the Miami Dolphins next week at home and say, here's your number 2 overall pick.
Exactly. And when you take a look at that, too, with the ways you talked about the Oklahoma quarterbacking situation, now Zach Wilson's like, get me on the field. It's the Dolphins followed by the Texans here. Let me resurrect my career.
I might go bet some Zach Wilson rookie of the year the way that schedule is set to line up for him. Boy, oh boy. Listen, good stuff here to open it up. But there is still a lot to unpack, including the top of the NFC shifting around a little bit. Keep it right here on the Early Line.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
A long pass up to Baylor. Baylor goes in, has it.
1960, Elgin Baylor of the L.A. Lakers scores 71 points versus the New York Knicks.
His first year with the Lakers as a rookie, he led a team in scoring, rebounding, and assists.
Baylor averaged 27.4 points and 13.5 rebounds during his 14-year career with the Lakers. For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
Look, we're not saying all the other sports talk networks are backwards, but we're pretty sure they all have a favorite Hee-Haw episode.
Get on the grid.
Hee-Haw. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Right back here on the Early Line. Let's talk a little bit about the Washington football team hosting the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, maybe I am supposed to give this Washington horrible defense credit for this game. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. Instead, I want to talk about the current favorites to win the NFC and the fact that simply the Tampa Bay Bucs have no business being the favorites to win the NFC. You can't just remain the favorites because you won the conference last year. At the end of the day, that does matter. That is always going to be priced into a market. In the same way the Dodgers were the favorites to win the World Series the entire season, despite never actually winning their own division. It is relevant. But also, we are now 10 weeks into an NFL season. The top of the NFC is too good to just default make it Tampa Bay. The Cardinals, the Rams, and the Packers have all looked significantly better, but also, have the Bucs really even looked that good to any of you? They've covered just 3 games. Those games were against the Falcons at home, the Dolphins at home, and the Bears at home. The step up in class that they've needed to go through there against the Saints, a loss against the Cowboys, a two-point non-cover they probably should have lost week one, embarrassed by the Rams, a field goal at the gun to beat the Pats by two. I just don't understand, Donnie, how anybody can watch 10 weeks of NFL action and claim the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be the favorites in the NFC.
Now, your mind is in the right place here when you take a look at why Tampa Bay should not be favored to lead the NFC right now. Because you could probably look at a couple other teams and say, okay, I think these teams might be better at this point in time. But we're betting on futures here. So what we're saying yesterday, yes, that's a bad loss to the Washington football team. But what we're looking at is the championship chance here that they have to make a run, which includes winning their own division and getting a home game. They're probably not going to get the number one overall seed, and that's okay. You saw them last year go on the road, including beating Green Bay in Green Bay to get to the Super Bowl, and they obviously end up winning the Super Bowl. Because what we're looking at from a betting perspective here, Kevin, is you have to just take a look and say what we anticipate is going to take place by the time that the Buccaneers get to the playoffs. Antonio Brown's probably going to be back. Rob Gronkowski is going to be back. Godwin will be fully healthy, and here we go. Like, when you have a full strength 100% football team in Tampa Bay, they can do damage. Now, there's no guarantees that they're going to make it to the playoffs unscathed with injuries. Everybody gets big-time injuries. You saw Vita Vea get injured yesterday. We'll see how long he's out and see what type of parameters that makes against that rush defense that is so good. And he's a big part of why that rush defense is so good. But I'm not going to push the panic button yet. Tampa Bay is going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have at least one home game once they get in there. Should they be favored at this time? Probably not, but maybe the books are looking at saying, we have so much money here on Tampa Bay. What can we afford to do? Sliding back to 350, 450, 550 to win the NFC, people are going to come back around for a second helping of that. So them sitting at top is basically saying, we know they're going to be good. We know they're in the mix. Let's not panic just about yet.
So that's all well and good. I'm not saying drop Tampa down to 10-1. To win the NFC. But right now, Donnie, they're fourth of the division leaders. And them catching Green Bay or whomever wins the NFC West or the Dallas Cowboys, I'm not sure I necessarily believe in. Which means, Donnie, they'd get one home game and it would be against either the Cardinals or the Rams. And then we're going to the road here, Donnie. The path that the Bucs are setting up for themselves is not an easy one right now. The Bucs had probably the one seed, it felt like, in some ways, on a silver platter. They were supposed to be going up against an NFC South that they could just beat up week after week. And now they've responded by losing back-to-back games, Donnie, to Trevor Siemian and Taylor Heinicke. I get it, they're going to get healthier, but they're not going to be in any better of a position when it's all said and done. That's really the big issue here for Tampa Bay is when I think we're looking at who's going to be favorites coming out of the NFC, Donnie, give me the path of least resistance. We look at the Power Five teams in the NFC. Would this group have the longest odds to end up the one seed right now of those five in the actual conference?
Yeah, because let's take a look at Tampa Bay also, what they have on the upcoming schedule. Still 6-3. It's not as if, you know, 5-4 or like in 5-5 at this point through 10 games or 10 weeks here. You got the Giants on Monday Night Football. That could be a victory here for you. You go on the road against the Colts, which probably will be a tough game. Let's even say they lose to the Colts in that one. But then you come back against the Falcons, which look dead and buried at this point. The Bills on the road will be a tough, the Bills at home, which you have them at home, still will be a tough one. But after that, the Saints, which you should be able to handle them, at the Panthers, at the Jets, and then the Panthers at home to end the season. This team's still going to finish up with 10 or 11 wins here as they head to the playoffs. And sometimes you take a look at your Lakers with LeBron James. We don't necessarily care really what happens all that much in the regular season as long as you make it to the playoffs healthy. This is a veteran-laden group that's won a championship and obviously just won it last year. They know how to win once it gets down to crunch time, and I think they're leaning on that here, Kevin.
I look forward to seeing the reposted odds for the number one seed in the NFC. Quickly on the Washington side, Donnie, while this obviously a big win for this team, at the end of the day, are they going to push for the postseason? I don't believe so. The back end of the schedule does feature still five more games against the division, but two of those, Dallas, they're still at Philly and at the Giants. Not great. And really, I think, Donnie, the big story for them, in a way, coming out of this game is Chase Young out for the season, and they confirmed this one pretty quickly with a torn ACL.
Yeah, that's a tough injury here, a really tough one. That's the unforeseen ones, right? Sometimes you see like a bad collision here, but anytime you have that injury on the knee where it just gives way, there's not a lot you can do. And the one thing about the NFL that we know with the trainers and the doctors, Kevin, they can diagnose an ACL injury pretty quickly on the sideline, and I guess they're just hoping they're getting some miraculous news here. But even if it is miraculous news and it's an MCL or something, he's still going to be down multiple weeks here. You just hope it's not that full-term injury, because sometimes when you tear that ACL in August, okay, you'll be ready come around next August, that one full year. You tear it on a midway through November, that's going to put a hamper on your entire offseason and probably the start of next year. Devastating injury. So it's one of those one things where you say, hey, great, we won, but at the same time, boy, that loss was massive, because if Chase Young is down, that's not good news at all.
You put it like this: if you ask Washington football fans, would you have rather won that game and lost Chase Young in the way that they did, or lose that game by a million, but Chase Young is okay? They'd rather Chase Young be okay. As Donnie said, that can bleed and likely will bleed into next season. And, you know, coming off of ACL injuries, I know it's become more common, which is just a credit to modern medicine and these athletes overall, but it's not something you want. You know, Chase Young was off to an unbelievable start to his NFL career. And again, unfortunately, very likely has seen his season end. Speaking of the top of the NFC, though, Donnie, the Green Bay Packers, I think, absolutely have a case to be made for the best team in this conference. At the end of the day, a win over the Arizona Cardinals. One of their two losses came without Aaron Rodgers. And the defense shuts out Russell Wilson in his return.
20 of 40, Russell Wilson for 161, two interceptions. That is a quarterback rating of a 39.7 and the QBR rating that we look at where the quarterback makes plays in the game of a 13. Now, usually you come back and say, okay, it was expected to be rusty here. But when you watch Russell Wilson, he's probably one of those guys that you figure can go 4 or 5 weeks, have football off, and you saw all those little mock huddles that he's doing and how in tune he is, and he's on the sidelines, he's taking coin flips. So his mind was always there. But I have to tell you, and I'm also looking towards the future as well. You know, we talk about Russell Wilson maybe wanted out of Seattle earlier this year in the offseason. Let's just say he wants out again. And then you're saying, hey, I'm going to pony up 2-3 first-round picks and a couple players. You watch that football game and you say, is Father Time already catching up to Russell Wilson? Because how many times in the past, Kevin, so nimble in the pocket, always making plays. I used to joke that it didn't matter even if he had a starting offensive line. If nobody blocked for him, he was at his best. Four pass rushers in his face, sidestep, sidestep, deep ball to DK Metcalf, and it works. They were abysmal on offense yesterday, and he was the major reason for that. Now, you're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's one of the best quarterbacks to play the game over the last 20 years here in the NFL, and he should be able to bounce back. But bouncing back for what here? What about Pete Carroll long-term? They're 3-6. They're not going to the playoffs this year. If there's going to be upheaval, it's coming for the Seahawks down the stretch here. But again, back to Green Bay, 17-0. He did exactly what you wanted to do. 10 days off here for Aaron Rodgers, parachutes back in, throws for 292 in that game. They did what they needed to. But also, when we talked about Chase Young here, take a look at Aaron Jones with a knee injury. Hopefully, it's not that devastating, because that long-term impact will be tough.
So quickly on Seattle and Russell Wilson overall. They, I think, Donnie, you look at the back end of their schedule here. I think they've got 5 spots they can actively be favorites in. They're going to the Texans. They're hosting the Bears and the Lions. But to me, it all starts next week against Arizona. You're home, not an easy spot. Kyler and Hopkins probably back for the football game. You lose that, you fall to 3-7. The story is not going to be, can Russell save the year? The story is going to be, where will Russell Wilson play football next season? But on the Green Bay side, Donnie, as I've talked about a little bit here with this Bucs situation, right? Let's just maybe remove Tampa Bay from the fold. The Rams are plus 350 to win the NFC. I've often said I think that the Rams are the best team in the conference, though last week's performance was certainly a concerning one overall. The Packers are back there at plus 470. I view that as a legitimate gap, Donnie. And, well, I'm not really sure why that gap exists. The Packers, again, 8-2. They've lost just one game with Aaron Rodgers. If we're looking ahead as well, Green Bay plays not only a much easier division, but they play the Rams head-to-head in Lambeau Field. I don't understand the gap right now that exists between the Packers and the Rams and the odds to win this conference.
Yeah, it is a little bit different, but you also take a look at the Green Bay Packers. Don't we expect this from the Packers every year? You know what was interesting where that team total dipped when we thought Aaron Rodgers, or some people thought Aaron Rodgers would not be playing for the Green Bay Packers this season, was what, an 8.5 or a 9 out here? Yeah, they already have 8 wins in their first 10 games, and you're right. The schedule sets up for them very well down the stretch. This is a good Packers team, but Kevin, are we seeing one of those Packers get 10, you know, wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, and then get bounced by a physical team in the playoffs?
It very well could happen, but I think we're at a spot right now. Whoever has the one seed in the NFC will probably be the favorite to win the NFC. The Packers might be in pole position. Come right back here.
This is the Technology Minute with George Capalbo.
Does your domestic Android seem to have limited social awareness?
I think you know what the problem is.
Researchers at MIT are working on going from this...
We can coexist, but only on my terms.
...to something more like...
Please sit next to me so we can plan your destruction together.
MIT CSAIL has created an environment where robots learn empathy and social skills by working together to succeed at simple tasks.
Computed and recorded, dear.
Rewarded for good behavior, but punished when bad.
This is the voice of world control.
Kind of like training your dog to behave, but hopefully not impossible, like trying to train your cat. Follow me at G Capalbo on Twitter and stay tuned to The Technology Minute for more cool stuff like this.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us.
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Let's keep rolling here on the early line. Going for the big results that came out of Week 10. And there was a big game between the Chargers and the Vikings, two teams that are fighting for square positioning in the back end of the wild card races, Donnie. And the pick six money line dog strikes again. I think we're 10 weeks into the season. I think we've maybe been shut out twice on money line dogs. Donnie gave the Vikings a shot against the Ravens, deserved a winner. And I said to myself, I think that group will know they owe the early line a money line dog casher. And that's what they put forward, Donnie. As a field goal underdog against L.A., they went outright 27-20. Also, Dalvin Cook did some damage for you at his yardage prop.
Yes, he did. Went over the yardage prop in this game. But if you take a look at it from a perspective of the Vikings here, right? Where do you like Kirk Cousins? Not in the favorite role, but in the underdog role. He seems to play very well with doing that. 25-37 on the road, Kevin. 294 yards in the air, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. When you need to go on the road and beat a good football team, which the Chargers are a good football team, you need your big-time guys to step up. Kirk Cousins stepped up. Dalvin Cook stepped up. And also at the wide receiver position, Justin Jefferson, 9 catches for 143 yards. If you listen last week to Mike Zimmer, he said it's very important that we get more touches for Justin Jefferson. How many times, Kevin, do we read in tonight and be like, oh, man, here we go. Let's bet Justin Jefferson's, you know, touchdown prop, which obviously didn't score, yardage prop to the over, catches because he'll be involved more. And then he gets 2 targets for like 1 catch and 13 yards. Mm-hmm. But it worked out in their favor. That was a nice win by the Vikings. Now 4-5 on the season. Keep in mind, when we're starting to look forward to what makes sense, you just look at the Vikings, you go 4-5. It's not good enough here. But you have to understand there's an extra playoff team. So now these teams that are hovering around 500 have legitimate chances to make it into the playoffs. Talented football team overall for the Vikings here, battling COVID all week long. That is a great win to go on the road and beat the Chargers. Now, as we look towards the Chargers on their side, Herbert was okay, 195 yards, so some of the luster coming off there. Austin Eckler, 11 carries for only 44 yards. Not an explosive offense here. So what are we to make of now the Chargers as we take a look and say, are they really one of those teams that we thought could take that next step in the AFC West? Right now, they're just showing a pedestrian football team to me right now, Kevin.
And at the end of the day, Donnie, I thought the turning point for this team was the game against the Patriots. The loss to Baltimore was very bad. But Baltimore maybe was due for a big outing like that, and you were able to hit the bye week and kind of reassess. to come off of your bye and essentially be just completely outmatched by the New England Patriots was a very telling sign. The field goal victory against the Eagles was a case of they had the football last. And look, good win overall. But part of the reason that I was taking the Vikings as a money line dog, who is are still now perfect against the number as an underdog this season, which is a credit to Cousins and a credit to what Donnie's talking about with Kirk overall. But it's a fate of this L.A. Chargers team, Donnie, because I thought early season this was a pretty good group. They opened this season 4-1. They look like, remember, Donnie, when they went into that Ravens game, like, man, this very well could be your two best teams in the AFC. And they've just looked like a far cry from that since that game. They have just one win since that game. And let me just make this point for what should have to be the last time, because I shouldn't have to make it again. Brandon Staley is not in any way a legitimate candidate for Coach of the Year. If you have the ticket, click the cash out button now. He's not winning it. In what world can anyone argue that this guy is a top five candidate for Coach of the Year? They're right now 5-4. Bill Belichick, a much better case. Mike Vrabel, who Donnie told you a little bit about during the offseason, a much better case. Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur. Mike McCarthy has a better case. And Mike McCarthy's terrible. Donnie, please, let these people know that the Brandon Staley cash out option needs to be taken advantage of if it's available. The guy's got no case for the award.
Let's see what it actually opens back up here on the FanDuel Sportsbook to see what it is, because we've seen some odd changes here, and maybe if the Los Angeles Chargers lost 27-20 yesterday, which they did, he actually improves his odds for some reason. But you have to, I think your stance is right here, because in the offseason, we're trying to go through the numbers, like who actually makes sense to actually win this award? It was always interesting that Staley was atop of the leaderboard, and you're saying, well, does this mean that he has a ready-built team that just because they were rudderless at head coach the past 5 years, he takes over and is somewhat competent, they're going to go out and be 11-6 or 12-5 on the season, win the division, it's an easy one. But the simple fact that he was placed atop and still hanging around as if, like, you're right, Cliff Kingsbury in that same division outside of the, in this out west, taking a look at games where you're saying, hey, outside of yesterday, they were really good. Or even like a Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia saying, boy, this team, you know, if they're healthy, they could make a run here. So you're looking at more of those lower level guys. But this guy was just anointed as if it was like the number one overall draft pick coming in to save a franchise. And that's how you should be betting him accordingly. It was always interesting to see. But I actually want to see where he goes now in the Coach of the Year race once that opens back up on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Even money to win the award somehow after the game. It's absolutely coming. Speaking of award movement, Mac Jones is going to knock on this Offensive Rookie of the Year award, isn't he, Donnie? I mean, at the end of the day, the Pats are rolling now. My goodness, 45-7 against the Cleveland Browns. Boy, I think this game is fascinating on both sides of the football here. Talk to me about your main takeaway here from Pats Browns.
This is my favorite Patriots game of the season. I didn't have any money on it, and I told you guys to bet the Cleveland Browns because I thought that defense would give a young quarterback a lot of issues. Also take into account, you know, your top running back, the guy you were leaning on the past couple weeks, didn't even play in this game, and you hung 45 points on that Browns team and knocked Baker Mayfield out of the game and thoroughly dominated. Well, they didn't have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. That game didn't matter. The focus of this team now is back on the offense. If you remember a couple weeks ago, Kevin, before I took a team total on New England, they were struggling, they were scuffling. I said, now, Kevin, take a look at this here. They're actually going to have everybody back and healthy for this game against the Jets. Oh, but they haven't shown anything. And, you know, maybe the Jets will play good defense. They hung over 50 points in that game. And it seemingly continued down the road. The one thing you wanted to make sure of for the New England Patriots that you had your franchise guy. He's still young. He didn't dominate yesterday. He had 198 yards. But look at the efficiency, Kevin. 19 of 23, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 142.1. Also, you take a look. Harris wasn't in the backfield. Ramondre Stevenson, 20 carries, 100 yards. Guys are stepping up at the right time here. And now it looks like that offense under Josh McDaniels is saying, hey, this quarterback is no longer a rookie. Our entire playbook is open, and we trust this guy to win football games. Big-time W here, and dare I say, one of those divisions where we thought the Buffalo Bills would run away with this thing. Maybe the Patriots are sneaking around the chicken coop here, Kevin.
If the Pats win this division and Josh Allen still wins MVP, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it seems like it's incredibly live. So it's been, listen, overall, I'm trying to pull as much as I can from the DRS playbook when it comes to the NFL, of trying to keep it more reserved. At least I've been trying the past couple of weeks here. And I had just two totals that I really liked on this Sunday board. And this was one of the two. The other was the Bills-Jets. We've talked about that game. And a lot of it, Donnie, had to do with New England. Now, I thought Cleveland would bring a lot more to the table. We'll talk about them more in a moment here. But the Patriots, Donnie, have now scored at least 24 points in six consecutive weeks. They're averaging over 30 points per game in that stretch, and they've won five of those six games. The questions around New England now are about Mac Jones, Offensive Rookie of the Year, because at the end of the day, still plays the quarterback position. Bill Belichick, Coach of the Year, because they're doing this with a rookie quarterback. And can this team actually make the playoffs here? It's a 6-4 football team. The only team that has more than six wins in the AFC are the Tennessee Titans. So everything is very bunched up. But when you look at what the Patriots have put forward here, man, this is incredibly impressive overall. On the Browns side, though, Donnie, my goodness, for that team to put forward what they did against Cincinnati and follow it up with this game and to score a touchdown on the opening possession and to go 45 unanswered for the Patriots here. Baker Mayfield left the game injured again. He finished this game, Donnie, 11 of 21 for 73 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Look, man, that ain't Odell's fault.
No, it's not Odell's fault. And how about yesterday, right? Look at the final score, Kevin, 45-7. You know what, a 7-0 lead in that game? The Cleveland Browns, like, hey, here they are, right off their performance last week. This team is resilient. They're going to be able to handle their business. And they got floored in this one. Now, it is going to be interesting to see, you know, the prognosis of what actually happened to Baker Mayfield and how that plays out long term. But the one team that you do want to see after you take a butt kicking like they took is you want to get the Detroit Lions, and you'd like to get the Detroit Lions at home. But you saw it yesterday, the Lions were game against a backup and injured football team in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Could we see next week a backup quarterback and an injured football team here for the Cleveland Browns take on the Detroit Lions where they try to get their first victory? I'm not going to push the panic button just yet on Cleveland because I know how talented they can be. You should be able to pick up a win against the Ravens. But how about this here, Kevin? How many times do we see this? Lions at home, back-to-back games at the Ravens, and home versus the Ravens. That is an interesting structure here. And also doesn't get very easy down the stretch. Ravens, nope. Raiders, Packers, at the Steelers, Bengals to end the season for the Browns.
The Browns are going to need some help in the AFC, though that does feel true of a lot of teams. The one team that doesn't seem like they need help, Tennessee Titans, 8-2 right now. Donnie, they continue to get the job done here. Now, the Saints did cover this 2.5-point spread in a preposterous fashion where they scored a late touchdown. And this is one of my favorite things about betting, where anybody who bet on the Saints was begging for them not to get the conversion, and anybody who bet on the Titans was pleading for them to actually convert it. They did not. They lose 23-21. Tennessee at one point, Donnie, held a 20-6 lead in this game. I have to say, though, on the Titans, Donnie, their offense has not looked great without Derrick Henry. The defense has stepped up, and they've been doing just enough these past 2 weeks, but still doing enough.
That's sometimes that all that matters. And that's when you take a look at a good head football coach that says, look, we're not going to lose these games. We're going to coach you guys upright. So our goal is to be in it to win it by the time we actually get to the fourth quarter. So take a look here at the Tennessee Titans. What did they do well yesterday? Play good defense? Yeah, they played good defense. But I think your point is right here, Kevin. Sooner or later, this is going to catch up to you because this isn't as if a COVID or a hamstring injury or a calf strain, which you're going to miss 2 to 3 weeks here for Derrick Henry. He's probably not coming back this season. You're still winning football games. That's great. Ryan Tannehill, 213 yards passing. Your leading rusher out of the backfield was 30 yards on the ground. Deontay Foreman for 2.7 yards per carry. You also gave Adrian Peterson 8 carries for 2.6 yards. This will catch up to you sooner or later, but I think they're trying to weather the storm and maybe change the identity of the team being the Titans. But the one thing you can't fault the Titans with for me, Kevin, they continue to win and beat good football teams along the way. That's the signature of a really good franchise.
I think the Titans will be favorites to claim the one seed in the AFC. but I do understand why they are not the favorites to win the conference overall. I have been on record saying that I didn't think the Derrick Henry injury was going to destroy this team. They've still put forward two wins without him. They have not looked as good as I thought that they were going to overall. The Saints are the losers in this football game. The Saints are now 5-4. They've now lost two in a row. Is this Trevor Siemian's fault? Is Trevor Siemian going to remain the quarterback of this team? We'll dive into that a little bit more after we come back from a quick break right here on the Early Line. You're hanging out with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside on a Monday morning right here on Sports Grid. Quick break. We're right back.
Sports Professor Rick Haro inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your Sports News Minute, announcing the latest numbers from CBS Viacom and what they mean. Well, a $6.6 billion quarter, pretty good. And it's also 16% over estimates and last year's quarter, which is even better. And it also reflects a 22% increase in NFL viewing from the first quarter of this year that the NFL was held, the third quarter. And that's even better. And the bottom line is the NFL ratings key into profits and revenues with all the big guys. Now you know why the dollars are so significant for the NFL, because it drives the meter. The other piece of this is 47 million subscribers on streaming. That is a major advantage for Viacom and a leader in every other part of the industry. Sports Professor Rick Haro, Sports News Minute.
You were born with it. It's always been there. It's been the basis of many, many friendships and connection with people who just
know and think like you do.
It's made life fun.
Welcome home
to the winning edge.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Closing out our opening hour here on a Monday morning, and I wanted to get back down into the New Orleans Saints here because they're 5-4 now, and it feels like this group has obviously been pushed into a bad spot with the Jameis injury. You never want to lose your starting quarterback. But we know that Cam Newton was out there. Well, he's no longer out there. And we know that Phillip Rivers is interested, and we're not sure what their plan of attack is. And also, somehow, Jameis Winston wasn't able to jump Taysom Hill on a depth chart last season when Drew Brees missed time. But Taysom Hill can't crack through and take a job from Trevor Siemian. The Saints go to Philadelphia next week, Donnie. Who do you expect to be the quarterback?
I still think it's going to be Trevor Siemian. I mean, you take a look at the game yesterday, 19 of 34 for 298, so basically threw for 300 yards, no turnovers, had two touchdown passes, a passer rating of 104.8. I always thought to myself here, Kevin, Taysom Hill is a good athlete in the NFL, but athlete is the key word, and they can serve a big-time purpose here. The same way we take a look at Cam Newton yesterday. Even though Cam Newton didn't know the offense, you put a small package of plays in for him in the red zone, and he can be ultra-effective. Taysom Hill the same way. You're losing Taysom Hill if you start him at the quarterback position because his toolbox gets a little bit smaller when you see it the entire game. So what you have to do? Use the guy that can pass it a little bit more efficiently than Trevor Siemian. Mm-hmm. Use Taysom Hill. But also, let's keep in mind, Alvin Kamara wasn't in that football game. He makes a big-time difference on that offense, Kevin.
All in all, the Saints' last two losses have both been by 2 points. The week before those two defeats, they did beat the Bucs. I'm not sure Siemian has been actively awful in these two losses here. But they have had two touchdown deficits in both of those games. They've had to make these big comebacks, and that's just not going to be a way for this team to live, I think, overall. Now, I'm not sure Rivers is the answer, or Taysom Hill, or even if Cam Newton would have been, but it does feel like it would be difficult for this team, Donnie, if they did go into Philly next week and they did lose their third consecutive game, to stay steadfast with Trevor Siemian at the quarterback position. We'll see how it unravels. We start hour number two of college football.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No.